But We Keep Singing, Even So, by Chrome. Read by CookieMom6067. Hob Gadling, or as he was currently known, Professor Robert Gadling, would have said that his classes usually went fairly smoothly. At an age range of 17 or 18, to a few well into adulthood, his students were at least at university by choice, even if they wouldn't have picked an English history class if they weren't filling a requirement. The rare disruption tended to be of the good-natured kind, someone getting a little off-topic but invested in the material, or a student arriving late due to some minor disaster. So it was a strange day to have two disruptions, one after the other. The first couldn't be blamed on his students at all. They were still arriving in the minutes before the lecture was due to start when a familiar figure entered, tall and pale in a long dark coat. Hob nearly dropped his coffee cup and did manage to splatter it across the desk. From the aisle, his oldest friend fixed him with a look of amusement. He effortlessly drew the attention of the students sitting around as he descended the last few steps to the front of the room. "You're here," Hob said faintly, fumbling for the box of tissues to mop at the coffee drips. "Hello, Dream," his friend's voice was teasing but low, pitched for only Hob to hear. "How are you today?" "I'm well, thank you." "Hello," Hob said. "I have to teach a class," he said dumbly. And then, "But please, stay. I'm glad you're here." Dream nodded. "If you do not mind my attendance." "No, of course not," Hob said, bewildered. You can grab a desk, or there's a chair on the side there." He pointed at the plastic chair sitting against the far wall, usually used to seat guest speakers or other faculty who sat in for whatever reason. Dream opted for the seat against the wall and settled in. Hob wasn't surprised. He had a hard time envisioning Dream sitting with the students. The fact of him here in Hob's classroom was strange enough. He tried very hard to refocus, forcing himself to look out at his class rather than letting his eye be drawn to the figure at the corner of the room. And he thought he did admirably well, getting everyone's attention and launching into the death of King Edward IV in 1483, a subject with enough political intrigue that it required little editorializing to keep his students' attention. And then, just as he was getting to the exciting bit, he was interrupted by the wail of a baby. Well, he was a little older than that. He was 12 years old. But I'm sure he would have done that if it was age-appropriate, Hob said gamely, to some gratifying laughter. In any event, Gloucester had dinner with them and then arrested the Earl Rivers, Edward V's half-brother Richard Grey, and the King's Chamberlain, and they were all sent north and executed. Yes, after he had dinner with them like a normal person, so... The baby wailed again, effectively silencing Hob's next quip. He took a breath to continue, but there wasn't a pause before the next cry. I am so sorry, said one of his students. Ashley, he remembered. Hob hadn't noticed the bassinet she'd set on the floor beside her seat in the lecture hall, but now she was frantically bouncing the screaming child. Shh, shh, it's okay. It's nap time. I'm so sorry. I'll take her out. Hopefully not in the way Edward V is about to be taken out, Hob joked, trying to put her at ease, but the answering laugh was rather strained. No, I'm so, so sorry, her voice rose to be heard over the crying. The babysitter canceled and I didn't have anything else to do. I'm going to go out. I'm so sorry to miss class. Hob grimaced. It's all right, he said. We'll figure something out. He started to tell her to stay, but the child's screaming felt like it was growing in volume, and he ended up just wincing sympathetically at her. It wasn't like he could tell her to leave the baby in the hall, and he couldn't take it, or there'd be no point to any of them being there. May I? Dream's voice was quiet, but it was somehow perfectly audible through the noise. He held his hands out for the child. It was a strange thing to ask, and yet the request somehow had the simplicity of asking someone to pass the salt. Ashley, this is my friend. He's visiting today, Hob introduced hurriedly. Whether it was something about Dream's manner, Hob's reassurance, or the situation was simply distressing enough that Ashley was willing to divest herself of it by handing her child off to a stranger, she passed the baby to Dream. He lifted her up like he was looking at a piece of art, and she was quiet for a moment in apparent shock.
I am told you have urgent business in the land of dreams.
Dream spoke directly to the baby.
So you had better sleep now and let your mother finish hers here.
The baby still hadn't started crying again. She gazed back wide-eyed at Dream, two blue-eyed creatures peering at each other. For a second, Hob swore the blue of Dream's eyes went dark, and it was like staring into a galaxy. Then he blinked, and all was as usual. The baby sighed, and when Dream shifted to cradling her in his arms, she snuggled in.
Oh my God!
Ashley whispered. The rest of the class was mostly quiet, murmuring to each other,
That was amazing!
We won't go far, Dream told her.
And true to his word, he retreated to stand against the wall directly beside Ashley's row of seats, rather than returning to the chair.
Well, Hobbs said, bit of excitement today.
Ashley sat back down flustered, glancing back once to reassure herself the girl was still settled comfortably in Dream's hold. He gave her a nod, which convinced her to pick up her pencil again.
Where were we? Hob asked.
Right. So our friend Richard of Gloucester executes 3 people. Edward V apparently protested, but he's 12, and no one listens to him, even though he's supposedly king, which is a bad sign. Gloucester escorts him to London. As Hob took them through Edward V's imprisonment, Richard III taking the throne, and the princes in the tower, he stole occasional glances over at Dream. His friend didn't move. An implacable still presence in his dark coat, and the child didn't complain again. So with Richard III dead, Henry Stafford becomes king as Henry VII, and we have the Tudors, who we'll get to next week. Don't forget your midterm essays are due a week from today, not a week and a day, not 2 weeks, not, I know it's December, but I was really busy, a week. I need time to grade them unless you want me to assign letters at random. All right. Get out of here. You're free to go. Lecture concluded, Hob trailed Ashley back over to where Dream stood. The child was still sleeping peacefully in his hold. He passed her back to Ashley, a transference that Hob knew from experience was not intuitive, but that Dream accomplished with ease.
Thank you so much, she said, voice pitched low.
The baby didn't wake, just snuggled more comfortably into her mother's arms.
You're good with kids, Hob said, unable to keep the surprise out of his voice.
Am I?
His friend said.
Yes, she assured him. She glanced down at her baby, who was still sleeping. Normally, when she gets going, nothing makes her stop. Do you have any? She asked.
I had a son,
Dream answered.
Hob froze, then struggled to hide his shock.
He's gone now.
I am so sorry.
Ashley put a hand on his arm. He didn't shrug it off, but he didn't react to it either. And after a moment, she withdrew.
Can I ask, what was his name?
Orpheus,
Dream said after a pause.
He was called Orpheus.
That's a lovely name, she said softly. Like the myth.
Yes, Dream said. Very much like it.
His gaze went from Ashley to the child.
Dream well, little one.
Then he turned and stepped into the flow of students making their way out of the lecture hall, one moment right in front of them, and the next disappearing into the crowd. Hob smiled at Ashley and started to follow, but was arrested by another student.
Excuse me, Professor Gadling, I have a question about the essay.
He stopped, reluctant, and answered a few questions before he finally made his way out. He'd expected Dream to have left, but instead he found him standing in the shadow of the building, eyes fixed on something indeterminable on the horizon.
Watching her kid, Hob said, starting to walk.
Dream fell into step beside him.
That was good of you.
It was no trouble,
Dream said.
Children dream deeply.
Hob didn't know what that meant, but he had a different question on his mind.
Orpheus, that Orpheus is your son.
Yes,
Dream said.
I thought his mother was a muse, Hob said. It felt like the least fraught of all the potential questions that had bubbled up.
She was,
Dream answered.
Apparently not. You slept with a muse?
Dream flashed him a look, a mix of foreboding with what Hob thought, hoped, was an undercurrent of amusement.
I married a muse, he said. Calliope.
Huh, Hob said. Do you still...
She is my wife, no longer, Dream said.
Sorry, Hob said sincerely. He fell silent then. To his surprise, Dream spoke again.
She blamed me, he said, for what happened. Perhaps. In any case, we both professed hate for each other, and she swore she would never speak to me again.
Hob let out a low hiss.
Sorry, he said. What for? Dream asked. My choices are my own.
That's a hell of a way for a marriage to end. Dream gave him a sidelong glance.
In truth, he said,
in a voice pitched low enough that Hob thought the statement was half to himself,
it is one of the better ways my entanglements have ended.
Hob decided to keep his mouth shut. He wasn't sure he could take another revelation. Well, he said, trying to keep it light, if I ever run into her, I won't mention we know each other. To his surprise, Dream shook his head.
It matters not. We are on better terms now.
That's good, Hob said, surprised and not bothering to hide it. What, changed?
The both of us, Dream answered.
Any chance you'll... Dream looked at him. You know, Hob said, rekindle things. Dream was quiet for a long moment.
I think not, he said finally.
Hob nodded, and they continued to walk in silence. I'm sorry, Hob said, about your son. I didn't know.
And I about yours, Dream answered.
Unexpectedly, he added,
they were about the same age, were they not? It is hard to raise a child into a man and realize they will no longer listen, that you still know better, but they will not allow you to protect them anymore, and they will hate you for trying.
It had been some time since Hob had thought of Robin. Hundreds of years, new people and relationships and names, and only a human mind able to hold them all. It had a way of soothing the sharp edges of memories, like ocean water over glass. But Dream's words effortlessly unearthed the memory, the wound, Robin's body, after the bar fight. Such a stupid way to go. He'd been barely grown up.
I am sorry, Dream said.
And it was only then that Hob realized he'd stopped walking.
I did not intend to unearth bad memories.
Nah, Hob said, waving it off. His instinct was to reach for a cigarette to stop his hand shaking, but he'd broken the habit when it went out of fashion. You're right. You know, I would have said before, we're nothing alike. A grim smile crept across Dream's face.
What a thing to have in common.
It goes to show you, Hob said. He started to walk again, and Dream obligingly fell into step beside him. You're never alone in anything.
No, Dream said. Perhaps you're not.
They walked on for a while down the path across the campus. Were there others? Hob asked.
Others?
Dream took a moment to grasp his meaning.
Other lovers, yes. Orpheus was my only child.
It's hard, Hob said. I don't think I'll do it again, after Robin. Although you never know, I suppose. Dream was quiet for a moment.
Every time, he said, I think never again. It is too hard to love, and it ends so ill.
But it's worth it, Hob said. For me, at least, he amended. It's worth it. Even if it ends, at least you had it.
Perhaps, Dream answered. Perhaps that is why I cannot seem to stop.
Hob hesitated for a moment, and then brushed his hand against Dream's elbow. Dream allowed it, and walked on with him in silence the rest of the way home. The end.